And welcome to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. No Royals baseball tonight. It's been kind of fun this week, to be honest with you, on the West Coast. Yesterday an afternoon game, but we've had some night baseball as well. Good evening, Jacob. How are you, my friend?
Doing fine. How about yourself?
Good, man. Just been enjoying some West Coast baseball for a couple of days. We had some, Monday and Tuesday, afternoon game Wednesday, off today. This stretch, though, this stretch they're about to be on is going to be a pretty telling stretch. With it being an AL Central games. Two out. They played nine games coming up. Six of them against the AL Central. Two in this division. They play Minnesota, and they'll play Detroit for three. And then sandwiched in between is Cincinnati for three. That'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like they have a jam-packed schedule.
We give the Guardians in Detroit tonight. It was the Guardians winning three out of four over Minnesota. So somebody had to lose in that series, unfortunately. So kind of hope for the for both of them to kind of split on that situation. But as we sit, only the Tigers, only the Yankees. Yes, the Yankees, that team that was complaining about Juan Soto, leaving them for more money, which was as hypocritical as I said, because they've done that to everybody else going forward. But Sal Perez, nice little day at the plate. You know, three hits in that last game at San Francisco. Hopefully he can turn things around. Number two ERA in all of baseball. Number one AL star in the starters. Actually, number two in baseball, but number one in the American League. Starters, number three in baseball, number two in the American League. And the relievers have slipped to sixth, but number four in the AL. So third best record in the American League. Can't beat that. Yeah, nice little day off for the Kansas City Royals just to get started against Minnesota. And we'll see what happens. I know Minnesota was kind of rough there at the beginning. Really rough at the beginning. Then they got on a nice little winning stretch here. Looked good. But again, Minnesota is one of those teams that I think could win 10 in a row or lose 10 in a row or win 12 in a row, lose 12 in a row. They're a very inconsistent baseball team. The Royals, with this pitching, seems to be staying consistent. They always say wait till June. I know Denny Matthews on his weekly visit with Carrington said wait till June 20th to make a decision on Salvador Perez. Always give it a little bit more time. The Royals had a history with Ned Yost, so would always want to make a decision. He'd wait a week, see if it's a good decision or not. But he has made the decision to bring Jack Caglione up to AAA. We'll see what they have to do with the lineup. Maybe just give guys an extra chance, give them an extra week, because we are getting close to June. I always kind of consider June 1st. That is kind of who you are. I know teams can go on stretches and runs and be better. And obviously with the trade deadline, they can get better and go on a streak or whatever. But you kind of are what you are, 3 months in the season. And I don't see this pitching staff slipping at all. And last year you had two of the top four in Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo in the Heisman Trophy, the Cy Young Award candidacy. So this year, Chris Bubich has been unreal. This guy's been on fire. How good has he been? He's been one of the best, to be quite honest with you. Chris Bubich, if you haven't seen him pitch, gives you that extra guy to root for. It's always fun to watch Cole Reagan starts or Seth Lugo. Michael Wach has been fun to watch for the Kansas City Royals. But Chris Bubich has been unbelievable. His four starts he has in May, he's only given up one earned run. One in four starts. He 0.36 ERA in the month of May. He'll pitch Sunday against the Minnesota Twins. That'll be fun. Just in comparison, Paul Skenes gets a lot of love. Deservedly so. He's a hell of a pitcher. But WAR this season, Bubich is 2.8. Paul Skenes, 2.1. Games they've pitched and games started, 10 each. 62 and two-thirds innings pitched for Skenes, 61 and a third for Chris Bubich. Paul Skenes is 3-5. Chris Bubich is 5-2. Now keep in mind, Pirates have trouble scoring runs. Just like the Kansas City Royals, Paul Skenes go out there, throw a great game, and they'll find a way to lose. But 2.44 ERA, still great for Paul Skenes. 1.47 for Chris Bubich. ERA plus, 2.80 for Bubich, 1.74 for Paul Skenes. Strikeouts, nearly identical, 62 for Skenes, 61 for Chris Bubich. K percentage, 25% for Bubich, 25.5 for Paul Skenes. Walks, Bubich 18, Skenes 16. So very similar pitchers. And I know Paul Skenes gets all the credit, and accolades being one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, but there's Chris Bubich right there with him. So it's almost one of those starts. Every time he starts, it's kind of like, all right, you know, get a beer, get some nachos, watch the Chris Bubich start. We'll see what he does because it's been fun. Well, I like the days of Zach Greinke when he would go to the mound. Everybody would sit there and watch it. But these Royals, again, 2 out of 3 against the Giants. Love seeing that. But then this 9-game stretch. And listen, every stretch is important in baseball. Every game is important in baseball because at the end of the year, you'll look back at it. And I know people kind of, you know, poo-poo games in early April that they didn't really matter. But in the end, they do matter. Keep in mind, this team and Detroit made the postseason by 1 game last year over Seattle. 1 game. So a couple of those games did matter early on. You may not think they matter much in April, but they end up coming around. And yeah, you play 162, but these games do end up mattering at the end. But 9 games for the Royals, 6 of them at home coming up, or 6 of them in the division, excuse me, with Minnesota coming up, then Cincinnati, and then playing Detroit at home for 6. So 6 of the 9 at Kauffman Stadium. That's good news for the Royals. His pitching has been great. And again, just the Yankees and Detroit with more wins than the Kansas City Royals. I don't know how you sit and you feel about this team. I don't know if yesterday was just kind of an asterisk. San Francisco's been good pitching. It's a good baseball team. The question is, can the Royals beat anybody with a winning record? I know as Rob Brenton did the numbers and Carrington read them out earlier, 13-19 against teams with more than .500 record. But they've been winning. And that's the bottom line. You got to win at the end of the day because no one's going to care. You know, 5 years from now, when they look back at the standings, they'll see W's and L's. And so far, it's been more wins for the Kansas City Royals. And with this pitching, yeah, things are going to turn around. Jack Caglione, we'll get to some interesting comparisons he's been compared to. Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline was on with Cody Gold, and he left a comparison. We already know that J.J. Piccolo a few days ago, when he was on Cody Gold, gave Pete Alonso as a comp for J.J. or for Jack Caglione. I don't know, man. We'll get to that. We'll get to some of those comments because I don't think you should put too much pressure on Jack. He's going to come up here. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching him play. I get all that. It's great, but don't make him the savior. Because hopefully that Sal Perez's bat starts to turn around. Vinny's already doing the Vinny things that you want. Vinny's looked good this month. He's starting to turn things around, and that's good. That's good for Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup for this team. But can they muster enough runs to go with this pitching staff? Because this pitching staff's one of a kind. And like I said, I always go back kind of that window of baseball, and man, this team's never had pitching like this. And keep in mind, you have Reagans and Seth Lugo on IL, so you're relying on Noah Cameron that you'll see pitching up in Minnesota. You know, Chris Bubich still on the staff. He's kind of carrying the load for this pitching staff at this point. Michael Wacha, you know, true pros pro, you know, on this pitching staff. So I love it. Yeah, they're getting rid of some of the waste, the Chris Stratton, you know, kind of going away. But I'm excited about Royals baseball. I mean, I love watching at night. I really enjoy those late-night West Coast games. No Royals baseball today. It's kind of a bummer. You kind of look at it and say, why aren't the Royals playing today? But they, you know, they deserve a day off, nice little day off before they hit Minnesota, who, by the way, as I mentioned, wasn't great against Cleveland. As a matter of fact, Minnesota Twins right now, they're 27-22, a .551 winning percentage. The Royals at .549 because they're 28-23 because they played more games than Minnesota. Minnesota 8-2 in their last 10. Kansas City Royals 4-6. But the Twins had that series that was really disrupted by a little bit of rain, but they found a way to squeeze things in against the Cleveland Guardians. And as a matter of fact, one of those games postponed. They ended up losing one, and they won one against Cleveland. So that series was definitely postponed. But Kansas City, as I said, Minnesota for 3, then Cincinnati for 3, and then they'll play the Detroit Tigers for 3 as well. So it's going to be fun to see where the Kansas City Royals end up after this stretch. And again, it's hard to name stretches for this team because there's so many of them. But again, these games do matter. And with Detroit sitting 5 wins better than the Royals, I mean, there's a real chance to get them here at home to have some damage done against the Detroit Tigers. So we'll see what happens. It's good that some of these games are at home, get the home fans back out to the stadium, hopefully enjoying it. But I'm enjoying the Kansas City Royals baseball. Don't know if you're enjoying it or not for the season, but how could you not enjoy the Royals and what they're doing? I feel like It's not the 14 and 15 vibes necessarily. 13, there was a little bit of vibes there because they weren't eliminated until that final weekend in Chicago. But 14, there started to be vibes that kind of built up. Everybody kind of waited for the other shoe to fall with this team. Then they punched through, go to Game 7 of the World Series. People were concerned about lack of experience in the postseason. They swept their way all the way through to play the Giants in the World Series. Then things changed. They go to Game 7, turn around the following year. They win the whole damn thing, made a couple crucial trades for the team, kind of pushed all in, understanding what their window was. And we had mediocre baseball in between. And now they're good again, made the playoffs last year. Hopefully make the playoffs again this year. Things are looking good for the Kansas City Royals. If you can deal with the mediocrity, because that's sometimes you have to do for small market teams. You have to go through some of the lumps, but hopefully they've arrived. You can't waste this pitching, though. And it's tough to complain about the Royals. Really tough to complain about them. I know there's base running has been an issue. Scoring runs has definitely been an issue. But as long as they can pitch, man, and we're getting close to June. We got Memorial Day weekend this weekend. They're getting really, really close to June. So don't expect this pitching staff to fall off. I always thought this pitching staff would only be as good as your guys like Bubich and Lorenzen. But Bubich, man, as I mentioned, he's right there with Paul Skenes, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's going to make the All-Star game, I think, for the Kansas City Royals. And you can't go wrong with Chris Bubich making the All-Star game. That was a question mark. How good was he going to be this season in the starting role for the Royals? Well, to be honest with you, he's been the best pitcher on the staff. He's been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. You can't go wrong with that. Coming up next, though, there's been some changes in college football. They did the right thing, finally. The NFL voted to not reseed their teams. College football did. I'll explain that next. Welcome back to After Hours. I know people talking about the rain. Yeah, it's a good thing the Royals have been out of town this week. It would have been hard to get the game in the other night, but Minneapolis is looking good. 68 and sunny, 4% chance of rain tomorrow, only a 4% chance Sunday, mostly sunny, 70 degrees, 73 degrees on Monday, 4% chance of rain. So looking good for the Royals. Jacob, you drive a lot. You're on the road a lot. Are you tired of the roundabouts?
I mean, yes. They've gotten bad for sure.
I noticed that the other day too. I've always hated roundabout driving. Matter of fact, I remember when my kid was old enough to drive one of them, well, both of them, but when the youngest one was, we had more roundabouts. They're freaking everywhere. Just, you got to yield to people in the roundabout, but you always got to be kind of playing defensive too, because people probably not going to know the rules. But if you're in the roundabout, you got the right of way. And I don't think people quite realize that. You're in a truck a lot, so I imagine it's kind of a pain in the ass because they're freaking everywhere, these roundabouts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of them are nice, and, like, I'm driving a truck now that's very turn-friendly, so that's been a nice change. But I'm going to show my Missouri side here, and I got told by one of my coworkers, hey, when you're driving in Kansas, you got to take your brain out, turn it sideways, and put it back in. So I'm always... I'm always on the edge.
You're always conscious,
driving around people.
It just seems to be a bunch of them, but nobody kind of knows the rules. They just think, oh, it's automatic. They go in there to increase the traffic flow. But I don't know if they do it on a driver's test anymore. I mean, hell, it's been so long since I did that. And there wasn't many roundabouts back then. But can you imagine nowadays? They have to have that on the driving test, don't they? What they're doing a roundabout? Because more and more people just don't know, man. Hate to argue about it, but, man, they're just everywhere, and people don't know anything about driving in them.
Yeah, I can't remember if I had to do one because for this last license upgrade I did, I just had to do a paper test. So my last test was in like 2018, I think, driver's test wise. So it's been a while, and I don't think roundabouts were as prominent. I think they were just now becoming like a big deal.
I just really noticed it, man. I was like, every time you drive through it, it's like, you got to have your head on a swivel, man. Got to have your head on a swivel because you just don't know. Well, we'll get to some of the NFL rule changes in a bit. But right now, college football has made a decision. They made the right decision. Reseeding the college football playoffs. As of right now, it's still 12 teams. Probably going to go to 16 teams. We know that. But this year, you know, Boise State had a bye to the second round. Well, this year would have been much different. Because it would have gone like this. It would have been one side of the bracket, Oregon and Penn State, they have a bye, and then Georgia and Texas, they have a bye. As you remember last year, we saw a situation with Boise State getting it, but now they'd go from the 3 seed to the 9 seed. I always thought that reseeding made the most sense. Listen, it matters. All right, Boise State, great year. Austin Jeanty, second in the Heisman. Things look good. But did you ever look at the playoffs and think that's a real threat? That's a real threat in the college football playoffs. But granted, they're neutral site games once they get to the second round. But the first round, you shouldn't have a home game. You should not have a home game if it is the way it is. So I love the fact that they're reseeding it. Love the fact they're reseeding it because the college football playoffs, I'm sorry, the Ohio State wouldn't even made the playoffs in the old, but they proved to be the best team in college football last year, winning it all. I love the college football playoffs. The ratings got better and better as it went. We saw some blowouts there in the first round. That's just what happens. The teams play at home instead of a neutral site. You're going to see blowouts in the first round. That's just what's going to happen. You wouldn't expect in the college football playoffs, but I'll remind people, we had 20-point wins more than 60% of the time. When it was four teams in the college football playoffs, there was route after route in the first round. It got a little competitive in the title game, but not all the time. Remember, TCU got bombed by Georgia in the national title game. But reseeding always makes sense to me. I wish the NFL would have considered this, but they didn't. But college football is always one of those things, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens as far as the college football reseeding, but I'm glad they finally made the decision to go ahead and reseed the teams for the college football playoffs formula towards the end. They'll rank the teams 1 through 12, and they'll get byes for the first round. But teams like Boise State didn't deserve a first-round bye. They got one. They don't deserve that, as we know. It doesn't matter if they're playing neutral site games or what, but they need to play in the first round. That's the way it is. And if you go to 16 teams, I know people are complaining, the Big Ten and SEC are going to get four teams in. Big 12, just two. So be it. Those are the power conferences in college football. We know that. It's the way the NFL draft works. More good talent comes out of those conferences, just the way it is. But it is a start to reseed the college football playoffs. The NFL, of course, we'll get to that in a minute. They did some decisions as well. But regardless, I am pleased that college football went ahead and did it. But the NFL did make some changes coming up. We'll discuss those in earnest in just a minute. But, you know, we're getting close. We're getting close to June 1st. June 3rd, I think, when Athlon's college football is coming. I'm still a sucker for going out and buying the hard copy of the magazines. They're getting outrageously priced, though. They're all $12 to $20. I'm like, that Phil Still's even more than that, I think, at this point. But he's talking to all the college coaches, which is cool, that he's talking to them about their teams. He said Wilcox, that we had on during the draft special on that Saturday about Chiefs draft picks. He joined Phil Still to talk about their team. But I always like it when they're doing their extra homework, these guys that are putting the college football guides out, doing the extra homework and actually talking to the coaches about their team going forward. I think that makes such a big difference. But I'm one of those guys, man. The countdown's on because you're going to have the Chiefs minicamp or the OTAs starting at the end of the month here in about a week, all the way to the mini camps, 17th to the 19th, starting to see that. Then, boom, you're in the fall camps or training camps for the NFL teams up at St. Joe at the end of July there through August, and all of a sudden we're back in NFL season. That's what happens when you have the Super Bowl all the time. And, you know, now teams are, you know, now's the season where there's rankings, who's going to fall off, who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, that kind of thing. I don't look at it, again, go over some numbers for you, staggering numbers of teams that didn't make the playoffs end up winning their division the next year. So all of that. Plus Jim Callis later on, he was on with Cody and Gold today talking about Jack Caglione and kind of his crazy comparison to who he thinks he can be. And we heard JJ the other day saying Pete Alonso. So we'll discuss that as well. But the NFL and the rule changes, we'll discuss some of that next. And welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, producing the operation from the text line, 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Total Service text line. question is, who do you think gets more playing time, Noah Williams or Jalen Royals? A bigger impact. I think Noah Williams get more snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he's going to be fighting for a starting job, to be honest with you. He's that good. I could see him being one of the draft picks, actually, starting. I see a lot of these guys in a rotationary basis. Hopefully, Josh Simmons is healthy at tackle and can start for the Kansas City Chiefs, but still wait and see on that one. But Noah Williams and Jalen Royals on a rotational basis, obviously, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown ahead of him on the depth chart. He's going to be battling out with Juju for playing time in St. Joe. Could he be the Chiefs' fourth receiver? I think he will. I think you'll see some Jalen Royals. I think he'll make an impact. But as far as snap counts and maybe more of an impact, Noah Williams. Later, the NFL.com kind of went the most underrated and underappreciated Kansas City Chief. They went every team in the NFL. And I'm curious what your thoughts on that is, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But certainly, I mean, yes, maybe you underappreciated who they had, but I think certain guys are actually more underappreciated for the Kansas City Chiefs. But as far as the NFL rules that passed and didn't pass, were you paying attention to any of this stuff, Jacob? I don't know if you cared about what the NFL did with rules, or you followed. The tush-push has been talked about a lot. You probably heard that word a lot.
Yeah, I heard about that, and then I also heard that the Lions rescinded their proposal for the seeding change in the playoffs.
And they actually wish they would have kept that one. But regardless, the tush push still passed, got 22 votes. 10 teams voted against it. Against the tush push, but again, to keep the ban going. They need two more votes to change things. They need to get to 24 votes instead of 22. And they brought in Jason Kelce and everything to talk about the tush push and whatever. Spirit of debate between the owners and the league. Roger Goodell clearly wants to ban the tush push. It's kind of the NFL prerogative. That's the direction they want to go. I felt like the Green Bay Packers were the sacrificial lamb. As far as that's concerned, I don't necessarily know if they really cared that much about it, but they put it in the language. They did one. They took one for the team. Took one for the NFL. The Chiefs were one of those teams that didn't want to really ruffle any feathers. Typically, they go with the shield, and that was the ban, the tush push. That's how they voted. I don't think they really cared. I will say this, watching Chiefs games, now that they put the new language in, because they only got 16 votes to, they needed more votes for it. The Jason Kelce speaking on behalf of the tush push really helped it, and it probably pushed other teams into changing their minds, having a real NFL player, former NFL player, but regardless, a guy that kind of instrumentalized the tush push in Philadelphia speaking on its behalf. But the Chiefs went the way of the shield, which I'm not expecting anything different. It's typically what they do. They don't typically ruffle any feathers, but a little bit surprising because they did put new language in that said that it would also stop pushing players downfield. And literally, the Chiefs do it all the time. Go back and watch their films. Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Kelce, you name it. If they see a running back kind of stopping Pacheco, they're in a kind of a battle for yardage. You'll see them get behind them and push them forward. You've seen them push them to the end zone as well. The Chiefs don't necessarily do that tush push, but I'm surprised that more of the language has been talked about that. When everybody's talking about the quarterback and the pushing of the quarterback, they're kind of forgetting the spirit of the law, the rule, the spirit of the rule, which is you're not supposed to be able to push the player forward. And that was part of the new language. And certainly other teams do take advantage of that. The Chiefs can definitely take advantage of it because they have mobile guards and mobile center. So I'm surprised that they want to see any kind of ban on the tush push as well, because they do utilize it, not behind the line of scrimmage because it's not going to do it with Mahomes, but they do utilize it down the field. So a little bit surprised on that. There's one team that is really surprising. I'll talk about them in a little bit. But the other rule, too, that's not getting any run is the onside kick rule. It's been changed. You can do it any time now when you're trailing. You don't have to wait till the fourth quarter to do it. Now, they're making it a little more advantageous for teams to actually get the onside kick, because obviously it's a very low percentage play. But now players on the kicking team will now be allowed to have their front foot on the restraining line on onside kicks. So where the ball is kicked, they come up to basically gain a yard, which I don't think it's going to make all the difference in the world, but it will make some difference that they're actually a yard closer to getting an onside kick, because it needs to be more of a high percentage for teams to come back in games. The onside kick should be that. It's the letter of the law for teams to come back. So they actually let them creep up a little bit, and it's kind of gone under the radar. People are really not talking about the onside kick rule. I've always had a problem with the onside. You should be able to do it whenever you want, but you can't really do it when you're kicking a ball at the 35-yard line. You have the other players lining up at the 40 of the other team, and you have the landing zone and everything else. And now the touchback will be coming to 35 instead of 30. So you can't really do an onside kick when you have the alignment the way it is. So I understand that. So whenever teams do declare doing an onside kick, teams can line up, put their hands team in, and go for it. But they know what's coming. I've always had a problem with teams not being able to do surprise onside kicks at the beginning of the second half, beginning of the quarter, you name it, putting teams away. I've had a problem with two, with make you have to be trailing to do it. I think even if you're ahead, you got to be able to do it. If you see something on film and teams kind of, you know, lackadaisical on it and move backwards instead of forwards, and you think you could take advantage of it, do it. Chiefs did film study on Denver. They realized they could probably block a kick. They ended up doing it this year. But I'm a little bit surprised with that. But moving guys up towards the line of scrimmage, I think does help. But the onside kick rule, really under-talked about because everybody's talking about the tush push and what went with that. They will end up banning it. You know they will. But I am curious if they're going to have the language in there about players down the field doing it. Because, again, I think this involves the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, tush push, you think, well, it doesn't affect the Chiefs. They have to stop it. They did stop it against Buffalo. They've proven they can stop it. It is a tough play to stop. Not a fan of that. I'm more a fan of doing whatever you can to win the game. If Philly's good at doing it, let them do it. You got to stop it. I agree with that. But also, with that new language, because you go back and watch, how many times you see Trey Smith coming around and pushing Pacheco forward or pushing Kareem Hunt forward to get those extra yards, that first down, or push them around into the end zone? It does happen. And when you have mobile guards and a mobile center, that's what happens. They get downfield and they could do that kind of thing. But with the new language, I'm a little bit surprised the amount of teams that went for the, quote, banning of the tush push realized that they themselves do it. And you got to be careful with it because there's all sorts of penalties that can arise. And everybody already thinks the Chiefs get all the breaks anyway with penalties, which is a complete joke. They continue to say it, by the way, whether you're watching NFL Network or NFL Live or whatever. Chiefs get all the penalties, and, of course, social media is full of that. It's a false narrative that they get all the penalties, which they don't. But when you win all the time, you're going to get that. I mean, I love the Chiefs, you know, their fans wearing the villains T-shirts. I don't know if you have one of those yet, but those are awesome. I've seen people wearing them because the Chiefs did that cash cab kind of thing with their schedule release. But yet they're doing it on the in the streetcars as well, where they interview fans. But bottom line is, they don't call it. And for years, this has been a law. The NFL changed the rule in 2009. You can push players, but no one really took advantage of it until Philadelphia really made it famous with Jason Kelce doing it. And, of course, Jalen Hurts can squat a truck if he wants to. So having him behind the line of scrimmage there at quarterback, he's just built different than everybody else, and they're very good at doing it. Also really lowers the value of a Saquon Barkley when it comes to fantasy football, because at the one-yard line, guess what they're doing? They're doing the tush push, and they're going to do it ad nauseum because they can. And at some point, the NFL will probably outlaw it, because usually what they want usually happens, because they won an 18th game, you're going to get one. They'll reseed teams, I do believe, once they get to 18 games. But I don't think they want to put the language in yet, but I think they will. Internationally, they're already putting a ton of international games in, which, not a huge fan of that. But regardless, the tush push had some ramifications for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that people didn't really look at that. They're just looking at pushing Mahomes. They're not going to do it ever since what happened in Denver. Although the Chiefs did get a first down on the play, it cost Mahomes his leg and his knee, and he had to miss a couple of games. But they did get the first down, but again, I think it'd be a deadly play at some point, either in the AFC title game or the Super Bowl, if it was close, to actually do it, because I think they can do it. And when you have a center and guards like the Chiefs have, minus Joe Tooney now, which does hurt them, they can push forward. But again, the letter of the law states in the Packers change, which I'm surprised it didn't come out in the language before that, that you can't do it down the field, because that was my question. You ban the tush push, are you banning players pushing players down the field? Because you saw it all the time in the NFL. Chiefs did it all the time. going forward. Text line, by the way, asked me if it's a true I'm going to do the hot dog eating contest in Shawnee. Now, I guess Nathan's is coming. Do you like the hot dog contest, Jacob?
With Joey Chestnut? I love it. Joey Chestnut, best athlete in the world.
I agree with you on that, 100%. Everybody knows my love for Joey Chestnut. Little people know, in about 2014-15, he was in studio with us. It was back when I did the day shift with Henry. He was with doing a tour with Nathan's, and he was in here. And people automatically assumed, because the news put pictures of Joey out for the Nathan's is doing a qualifier on June 7th in Shawnee. But I guess the registration is already done. Nobody can just go register for it if they want to. They actually want, you know, people that can compete in it to actually get to Coney Island to surf in Stillwell there on the 4th of July. So can't do it. I know a lot of people want me to do it, but I can't. Text lines asked me to do it. I can't do it. The registration's full. I mean, yeah, would I do it? 100% I'd do it, but I don't think I can. Now, if we can find a loophole in the rules where I can register for this, I will. But don't forget, Joey had a problem with Nathan's. Remember, he was banned from last year. He didn't take place in last year's. He did a YouTube stream at a military base, which was awesome, and I ended up watching that as well, where he tried to eat hot dogs against people and competed, and Joey won, of course, because he always wins, except one year. One year he's going through a breakup or something like that with the fiance, something like that. He didn't win, but typically Joey Chestnut wins all the years, but it wasn't the same. It's not the same without the best ever doing the hot dog derby, which he didn't do. But no, I am not enrolled for the hot dog contest in Shawnee. Alex asked me if I wanted to do it. I clearly said I would do it, but I don't think I can do it. And we definitely can't do it in here. The company kind of has rules against that now. Drinking contest, hot dog contest, those type of things. You know how things work. You know how things work with corporate and lawyers get involved and everything else. You can't do things. But I'd sign a waiver for it. I'd 100% sign a waiver to do it. But text line says Joey Chestnut will not be in the hot dog contest again this year because he's sponsored by a meatless hot dog company. Yes, that's true. That's what happened last year. He took his sponsor money. Don't forget, this guy used to be in construction. He was out in the Bay Area. That was like his job. Then became full-time hot dog eating. And I'm surprised that Food Network or someone didn't grab him for like what Adam Richman used to do when you go out and eat the challenges, because he's more than a one-trick pony. He's got like the Twinkie record, 100 Twinkies, 121 Twinkies in 10 minutes, chili, asparagus. He's got all these records that he said. It's not just hot dogs, it's everything. So why don't I have that guy go out and eat the competitions? But, you know, you got to be able to do that. But I did ask him one time, could you just go to a game and enjoy a hot dog? Can you just go and order one hot dog and be completely satisfied? But regardless of the old Shawnee days, and props to the people that are in it, I hope you qualify for it and get to go to Coney Island on the 4th of July, because it is an establishment going out and doing it. They do show it live on ESPN. It is a covered event. It's just different without Joey Chestnut. But I will be watching a stream. If he does it on a stream, I'll 100% watch it. I haven't got real good in dipping buns in water, though. Like, that's the one thing. I do enjoy eating the hot dog with the bun, so it wouldn't probably be as much, but can't really get over the water in the hot dog. Now, a drinking contest or something like that, I'd be down with, but, you know, with corporate laws and everything else, I obviously can't do that. But regardless, there was one NFL team, speaking of NFL rules, that really confused a lot of people by some of their social media, and it's a team in the AFC West. Get to that next. Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, producing the operation. I don't think I've worked with Jacob since the NFL draft. You're with us the whole weekend, man.
Yeah, that was the last time we worked together.
That was a lot. That was some 6-7 hour shows, my friend. The Royals' schedule played in perfectly to cover the NFL draft. Not always going to get that lucky, but we've been lucky the last couple of years, except for the opening night. The opening night, they've had delays or rain delays for three straight years. So we've been delayed in the first round in the last couple down at Liberty Landing, which was a ton of fun this year. A lot of fun. But no, text line, I can't go enter the contest like Cody and Gold wanted me to do. I gladly would have done it. I know they were trying hard for it, but it's just not going to happen. But yeah, I would have done it. Did you hear about the Chargers at all and what they did on social media? kind of interesting. They kind of fooled a lot of people. The Chargers are like this. You know, them of what, T.F. Chang's fandom. Someone on social media forgot the Chargers account, and it was kind of funny. But they put out this tweet with Minecraft because they did their schedule all in Minecraft. Whenever they had the new schedule and everybody did the funny schedule releases for NFL teams, they did. So they put one out that says, save our tush push. And so you got to read the comments on it. It's kind of funny. It's still up on their X account. But everybody was getting in line with the Chargers. Hey, you're friends with us, man. Philadelphia loved it. Hey, you're friends with us. But then there was a lot of people who actually did their homework saying, wait a minute. You voted to ban it, but yet you're tweeting about liking it. And I think that that's funny what the Chargers did. Because as Adam Schefter said, the tush push only got 22 votes. 10 teams have voted against the tush push ban were the Eagles, of course, the Ravens, the Browns, the Lions, the Jags, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Saints, Jets, Titans, end of list. The Chargers then were part of the group to ban the tush push. And then they put on social media, save our tush push, which, you know, fooled a lot of people, but they're known trolls. The AFC West is known for the trolls, but the Chargers did this. And it's kind of surprised a lot of people that they did this, but the Chargers did do this. They still kept it up, at least to this afternoon. It was still up, even from a day ago. So the Chargers did this. They got a lot of people from Philadelphia fooled. Like, hey, they're one of us. They like the tush push going forward. Not so fast. Not so fast. You go back and review it and see what happens. So there was that in the NFL, and also they decided to put the NFC East. That'll be the weekly coverage for Hard Knocks. It'll be NFC East teams, but it'll be the Bills that are on during training camp. The Bills will be on Hard Knocks this year. I know teams usually hate it. The media in those towns love it, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Bills because right now everybody loves them. Like, everybody loves that team. Everybody likes the Buffalo Bills and what they can do, but when will people turn on them and be tired of them? That's the question. Are people going to be tired of the Eagles? It already sounds like a lot of the owners were. They told Jeff Lurie to shut up as he was talking for like over an hour for the tush push. The Eagles are a pretty confident group. They're a cocky group, to be honest with you. And the Eagles, nobody really liked them before, but yet they were playing the villains, the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, so everybody decided to like them. You're going to be very tired of the Eagles going forward. I just know you will be. And the Bills. Did you know the Bills are in the new Hallmark movie? It's basically the same setup as the Kansas City Chiefs one. Because Kansas City Chiefs were in the initial one for the Hallmark Channel a year ago. I remember Alex Gold went out there and he was an extra. Actually saw Alex walking in to a coffee bar. His car was in it, but Alex actually made it. He went there in June. Or July, whenever the filming was. It was hotter than hell that day, but you had to wear winter gear because it was supposed to be a Christmas-type movie. And the Chiefs were in the first Hallmark movie. And people around the NFL, you know, scoffed about it. Hallmark Channel didn't. Hallmark, based here in Kansas City, they loved it. It got the highest ratings ever of anything they've ever put out, the highest ratings ever. And I believe it was the highest-rated cable TV show as well that weekend, which the Hallmark Channel... That's gold. So they decided to do it again this year, but it's going to be the Buffalo Bills. Again, the team that's never won anything. Are they going to have too much attention? Is there going to be too much attention to the Buffalo Bills and people paying attention to it and getting tired of them? Because, man, across the United States, people were tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. All the commercials. Oh, man, they're doing too many commercials. I'll say this. Gronk is in probably six times more commercials than Travis Kelce is. Matter of fact, the Chiefs have kept a low profile. Yeah, well, I don't think we've seen a new State Farm one with Mahomes and Reid. Have you guys seen it lately? They've kept a relatively low profile. It's all about business for this team, which is interesting because they always talk about the vendetta for teams that don't win the Super Bowl or get blown out like the Chiefs did. I've seen Andy Reid in a few. He's in that Skechers commercial, and he's been doing some other commercials, but haven't really seen much of Mahomes, haven't seen much of Kelce. That's good, man. Keep it a low profile. Keep it a low profile. Let the Bills get all the shine. Let the Bills be the team that everybody's tired of. Let the Bills become the villains of the NFL. It's very tough to be a villain when you haven't won a damn thing. Like Buffalo, they seemingly get to play the Chiefs in the regular season. They beat them. They go crazy. People are like, oh, Buffalo Bills are the team to beat. Then they'll play the Chiefs in the postseason. And you know what happens. they can't beat Mahomes. Then you see all these silly lists about Mahomes, and you know you can't put him as a top quarterback in the league, and your eyes tell you something different with the stats and how much accolades. Well, find me another quarterback that's gotten a 7 straight AFC title games. Find me another quarterback that's done nothing but go to the AFC title game or Super Bowl every year he's been a starter. You can't do it. No one's ever done it in the history of the league. So that's what they got going for them. But the Buffalo Bills will be in the hallmark. They got the spotlight now as far as being the team on Hard Knocks. They're going to get a lot of run. And there's the Chiefs. Everybody thinks the Chiefs are in all the commercials. They're already complaining about the 8 standalone games during this year, the 7 primetime ones plus the standalone game because they're in the Christmas game and Thanksgiving, which you just knew that was going to happen when you saw Dallas was on their schedule on the road, that they were going to make that a Thanksgiving game. The NFL likes ratings, and they like to beat every rating, and the Chiefs and the Cowboys will destroy everything as far as ratings are concerned. It'll be the most watch event all of the Super Bowl, except for the Super Bowl. People watching that game, but it'll have set the record for Thanksgiving viewership. It always does. Even like the Lions, when they sucked, which they have for most of their time, we're getting good ratings on Thanksgiving Day because, well, for a while you only had 2 guaranteed teams being the Lions and the Cowboys. You still have them guaranteed. But then the Chiefs were in the first ever Thursday night game because they rotate that thing around. So no teams got the home field advantage. They played the Broncos in the first ever Thanksgiving night game. But the Chiefs playing the Cowboys will shatter every record because the Cowboys, they're always in prime time. People love them. They don't win a damn thing, but people watch the Cowboys. They still consider America's team or whatever, even though the Chiefs have kind of passed that mantle. But people are complaining about them. St. Louis played that the other night when that joke of a show was talking about Chiefs forced down their throat in St. Louis. And I'll remind them, Kansas City, the second biggest season ticket base is St. Louis. Kansas City Chiefs are the state's team, despite what they want to say about the Cardinals, because they kind of lost some of that to Kansas City Chiefs. They're still the state's baseball team being the Cardinals, but the Royals have taken a lot of that sentiment away. They've got more postseason wins since 2011 than what the Cardinals do. So the Royals are just kind of right there, but they're tired of the Chiefs. And yeah, the random noon games the Chiefs have, the 4 or 5 of them they have this year, yeah, they'll probably be in St. Louis. That's one of the markets they show. Deal with it. But as far as primetime games, they're always going to be shown in St. Louis. They're shown all across the country because they're standalone primetime games. They're going to be shown there. So if you're tired of it, don't lose a football team. I mean, that's crucial. You've lost 2 NFL teams, and you never want to lose an NFL team, but they have. So get used to it. But the Chiefs are keeping a low profile. It's not their fault that they're on the primetime games. They're there because of one reason. They're there because of ratings. Again, 93 of the top 100 shows in this country, regardless of genre, were NFL football games. Yeah, 15 of those were Kansas City Chiefs games. So there is a draw for putting the Kansas City Chiefs in primetime. And when they play the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be blowing up everything. But as far as the Chargers here, trolling the world, it's always kind of funny. Talk some Royals baseball in a bit. Jack Caglione with Jim Callis was on Cody and Gold. Play that about 7:30. He had some interesting things to say. And the comparison for Jack, kind of out of this world, to be honest with you. We heard J.J. Piccolo already compare him to Pete Alonso. We'll see which direction they go. But coming up next, we'll look at the NFL.com. Again, people get bored this time of year. Vulnerable division champions. Will this be the year the Chiefs don't win the AFC West? They've won it 9 straight years. Going back to Alex Smith, they've still won it. Will this be the year they won't? I don't think so. Discuss that next.